The interviews and discussions in this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decision. Hi everyone, welcome to this edition of Stock Doc. I'm your host, Dr. Nigel Finch. And today on the program, I'm speaking with Jimmy Wong, Executive Chairman and Managing Director at Credit Intelligence, who are listed under the ticker code CI1. Now, Credit Intelligence is a Hong Kong-based debt restructuring and personal insolvency management business with the within the credit funding sector. They listed on the ASX in 2018. So, Jimmy, thanks for joining us from Hong Kong and welcome to the program.
Thank you, everybody.
To start off, can you give listeners a quick snapshot of the size and scale of Credit Intelligence, perhaps things like your headcount, your revenues, and your market cap?
In Hong Kong, we have about 35 staff working in CBD of Hong Kong with three floors office. And our revenue last year for Hong Kong business is about 6 million Aussie dollar. And our market cap today should be around the 80 million to 90 million Aussie dollar.
And Jimmy, for those that don't know your company, can you tell us briefly about the target markets that you're focused on and the services that you're providing?
We are a Hong Kong-based company. We basically date back to 2002. We target to handle personal debt problem for many, many people in Hong Kong and maybe over the world. So we expanded to Singapore and Australia in 2019 and 2020.
And so what factors are driving the demand for debt restructuring and insolvency management services?
In Hong Kong in 2002, there was a big demand for bankruptcy and personal debt restructuring because of the Asian financial crisis. Started in 1997, and the property prices in Hong Kong dropped 70%. 10 million property dropped to 3 million, as also the crash in the stock market. Many people in heavy debt because they bought too many properties. They lost a lot in the stock market. So many people with heavy debt. So I managed to start the personal debt restructuring in Hong Kong from 2002 in Hong Kong. So I'm the leading player in the market from 2002 to today. So in 2004, I was appointed as a bankruptcy trustee for World Bank Hong Kong to manage the large number of personal bankruptcy cases. So we managed to handle about more than 14,000 cases from 2004 to today for the bankruptcy administration. And for the personal debt restructuring, we managed to handle about 9,000 cases from 2002 to 2019. This is our history and our success story in Hong Kong.
And so today, what are some of the factors that are really driving demand for your service?
I think there will be a big problem over the world because of the COVID-19. I think the global economy will be in big trouble from last year, this year, and the years to come. And the virus will not go away overnight. And I don't expect the virus will disappear this year or even next year. This is well supported by the same and by the WHO, the World Health Organization. And for the slowdown in global economy, a lot of sectors will be affected in many countries, including Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, every country. So I think this is a huge market for personal debt restructuring and the bank administration and some smart lending to individuals and SME to solve their financial problem. So I think this will be a huge growth potential for CI1 in Hong Kong, Australia, and in many countries.
Well, look, talking about Australia, from your vantage point, what do you see as some of the macro risks in Australia, and how do you see the future for your services here in Australia?
I think there will be a very sexy growth story for me in Australia. So I'm lucky to get listed in Australia in 2018, and we managed to get a lot of investors interested in our stocks. We see a big rise in trading and our share price from 2018 when we first listed, from the listing price of 2 cents. Okay, we went to 13 cents last week, and good trading in the last 3 months. And the gold story in Australia is very exciting to me because we have the chapter two, the personal debt restructuring company with the fintech and maybe AI and blockchain to support in the coming months and years, and a huge number of people may lead our service in the personal debt restructuring to negotiate with the banks and to arrange payment. And this is the future direction of chapter two, big rise in personal debt cases. This is my anticipation because the macroeconomics in Australia in many countries is not good looking. The closure of the border and the drop in the export of Australia, and with nearly 100% stop in the overseas tourists and a big drop in the overseas students from Hong Kong and Australia, from China and many other countries. I think it will adversely affect the revenue of the Australian economy if they don't have a lot of tourists and overseas students and a lot of buying orders from China and many other countries for the Australian export. I anticipate there will be a bad time for Australian economy in the coming months and years if this situation did not reverse, and the job seeker assistance, as I know, it will stop. If I'm not wrong, it will stop in March. And I don't think every government has endless money to support the economy by just printing more cash. I think printing money is not the solution to solve the economic problem.
And what do you think about the, you know, talking about printing money, what do you think about the amount of money that's in circulation at the moment?
I'm not an economist. I don't think it's a good idea to print money. You see China, they have the largest, maybe the second largest economy. The financial chief yesterday, I think Mr. Guo, okay, he have indicated, okay, to the whole world that he foresee a big problem for the global economy, overheating in the economy, the oversupply of money and the asset bubble. I think this Mr. Guo, as the head of the PLC banking sector, he was giving a good indication, a good message to the whole world. Printing money is not a good solution. Even China, they are scared of printing money to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Printing money, in my eyes, is a stupid or maybe a suicide action in the long run. Okay, USA is trying to print money, and the US stock market is overheated. The Bitcoin is highly speculative because people have no where to invest their money to do business. They just speculate in the stock market and Bitcoin. This is a very dangerous sign. The asset bubble is very serious, even in Australia. The housing price may be still very high, higher than before the COVID-19, but it should not be the case in many places. Even Hong Kong and China is very about the asset bubble for the housing prices. They are trying to stop the crazy rise. I think this is a good lesson to be learned by every government in the world. And for our business, when the asset bubble is bigger and bigger, it will burst, and many people will be in debt trouble. Even in every society, in every country, there are many rich people. They are getting richer and richer because of asset bubble. They have a lot of cash. But for the poor people, they will be getting more and more miserable. That's my point. And there will be a lot of people needing our service for debt restructuring in Hong Kong, Australia, in many places over the world for the personal debt restructuring. We are ready to expand to other countries, even the UK or USA or even, okay, the Asian cities, because they are well prepared. We have the good infrastructure, we have the good IT system, good app ready. And we are ready to expand to other countries by acquisition. And for buy now, pay later, also SME in Australia, I have a big hope for our explosive growth in the coming months and years, because SME certainly need good financial support for their good business or even survival. And our model for also for SME, we will use AI and fintech to help to monitor financial health of SME, and we'll arrange good funding to give responsible lending for this SME. okay, we are going to be profitable. But like the other personal benefit, they are just spending money, lending money to people without any consideration or without any responsibility. Okay. And they don't care whether the money can be recovered. I think this is a dangerous signal to the young people and to the society. Okay, spending without responsibility.
So, Jimmy, given your views on the economy, what's your approach to developing debt solutions and debt restructuring solutions?
I have a good experience from Hong Kong too. I'm confident that we can copy our model in many countries. We are still very successful in Hong Kong. In Australia, we will do more the debt restructuring the service for the OCC people when they're in need for individuals. For SME, we can do restructuring for them even if they are in financial trouble, if they are not qualified for lending. But after their financial health are improving, we can arrange a responsible lending to keep their business running or keep their business growing. And we will have a fintech AI and the blockchain all in place in the coming months and years. We are trying to work with the UTS in Sydney to develop the fintech so that we may be one of the leading company in the world using fintech and AI to the SME, buy now, pay later, and the financial business. I think we have a big story ahead. I have a big dream, always a big dream, always need to dream big for a big success. This is my philosophy.
Well, Jimmy, there's been a number of technology innovations, including your own smartphone app. Can you tell us about this and what else is in the pipeline?
In Hong Kong, we have developed an app to monitor people with debt. Okay, they can use our 24-hour service. They can send a document to us using the app without calling our staff or using the fax machine or email. So we are already using the app in Hong Kong for many months. And we are developing a similar app or maybe a more advanced app in Sydney by our team under the name of Chapter 2, which has 7.60%. The Sydney boss, Chris Musan, is heading the team and they are working very hard to develop a new app and new IT technology to do this personal debt management business. I think it may be the best technology in place in Australia. That's what Chris told me weeks ago before I give my support for his development. So we see a big rise in the business opportunities for Chapter 2 personal debt management platform in Australia. And we are looking for other good acquisition. I'm talking to many people. They have a good business, good profit. And some people are talking to me to work together under the umbrella of SiOne. And for also buy now, pay later, it's also a debt management or a financial support business model, but it targets the SME. SME is the backbone of many economy, 1 million and 2 million SME in Australia. So it is our target to help this 1 million and 2 million SME to do more business, to survive in the difficult times ahead. If they don't have good money, if the bank cannot give them the quick financial support, we're trying to develop a 24 hours fintech and AI platform so that we can get funding to them based on their business, based on their a purchase order for their materials or food supply. We will give them timely financial loan so that they can repay in a orderly manner, and we will charge them reasonable interest. A loan, a financial support, which the traditional bank cannot provide them in time and quickly.
So Jimmy, what sort of margins are you generating and how have your margins changed over time?
Well, margin with business in Hong Kong, Singapore and Australia. So what business you are talking about? We have different business, we have different margin. So a Hong Kong business is very profitable. We don't have debt whatsoever from our history because we are profit making from day one. So we have very profitable low liability, low debt in Hong Kong business, even with 35 staff. We are very profitable. We can have over 50% margin. It's crazy in Hong Kong because we have business
All right.
We may not use this, Jimmy. Yes. Yeah. But in Australia, in Singapore, we have a good lending business.
Jimmy. Yeah. We'll drop this. I don't think. Yeah. Okay. Jimmy, can you talk about some of the joint ventures you have and the role that they play in your regional expansion?
I think we are not talking about joint venture. We do acquisitions. So I think acquisition by seven as a majority, we usually buy 6% to be a majority shareholder so that we can take control of the company, but we let the operation to be run by the minority shareholders. In Singapore, we acquire two lending company. One is HSC for personal finance and ICS for SME finance. They are very profitable. And we see a big growth of potential. We are raising more money to grow with the two lending companies in Singapore. They have a good profit margin and the risk control is very good in my eyes. And for Australian business, okay, we have a good business with big growth potential for Chapter 2 and also SME Buy Now Pay Later. In Hong Kong, we have a good business model without debt and very good profit margin. And we are the 100% shareholder of the Hong Kong business, which is my private business before injecting into Saiwan on the ASX listing.
And Jimmy, from the funding side of the equation, can you tell us how your balance sheet works and what's been happening with your major funders over the past year in terms of cost of capital and liquidity?
In Hong Kong, we don't need capital. We have cash profit each month. In Singapore, we inject some funds into the Singapore lending, and we were raising some private money to inject into Singapore. But in the coming months, we will try to inject more money into the Singapore profitable lending business. We are doing a credit raise fundraising right now. The trading is halted today and yesterday. I presume it will resume trading tomorrow. So the fundraise will be used to expand the Singapore lending business in Singapore, and we will be used to expand the business for also buy now pay later for SME in Australia in the coming months. And we need to spend money to develop a very sophisticated IT and fintech and AI system for our SME buy now pay later in Australia under the company name Yoso. So we do have a big demand for capital for developing our IT system for Yoso buy now pay later, and the big funding needed to be used to support the SME growth in Australia. And we are trying to get a big funding support either from a big fund equity or family office, or even we are trying to talk to one of the big banks in Australia, if possible, to get billions of dollars for this big story for the Yoso SME buy now pay later business, which is profitable because we are going to charge maybe 1% per month interest on every, we have 12% interest per year, okay, to give the loan to the SME. And if we can get the funding, of course, less than 6% or even under 4%, I think Saiwan will have a very good profit model under the also buy now pay later development in Australia in the coming years. I think billions of dollars will be needed for this profitable SME buy now pay later business model.
And Jimmy, given the changes that you anticipate in terms of your capital structure, what's your policy going forward on dividends?
We try to give a good dividend to our shareholders, but I don't think the rate will be very attractive as compared to the big company because we are a fast-growing company, but we will try our best to give some dividend to our supporters, to our shareholders in our future years. Like what we did in the past, we try to give 4 dividend from 218, although the amount is not high, I think it may make some people happy to buy 7 stocks. But someone told me they want big growth, not dividend. There are conflicting views. as to whether Seven should pay dividend as a penny stock. We may grow way bigger. And I think in my view, I'm happy to give some dividend, small dividend. Even we pay $1 dividend to our shareholders, okay, as a penny, as an appetizer. It's not the main course, main dish. But it will give them happiness in holding our stocks. We pay $1 dividend, but we may need to borrow $100 for expansion. This is my strategy. But we try to do non-dilution, okay, fundraising in future for the big amount of money. We may need billions of dollars. So we will try to get some bank's facility or some non-dilution company that is possible if we can find out a profitable business model. If we can lend out 12% for our SME loan for the buy now, pay later model, and we can get interest for 6 to 4%, even for our Singapore company, we try to raise more money to buy to do more business, but at a good profit margin with a good interest earning. We pay 4 to 6% or even 8%, and we can earn more than 12%. Why not? I think we can borrow more money to do more profitable business in a safe manner. So this is my plan. We can pay $1 dividend, but we can borrow $100 for expansion. We try to avoid dilution in future if possible, if we have a good funding support for CI1 in Singapore and Australia for our big funding need.
And Jimmy, what metrics should investors be paying close attention to when they read your announcements?
The announcement, I think we will have good announcement maybe every month in future. And we have good announcement before. So I see a lot of supporters for Seven share price in the last 3 months. Our share price was very low, 2.4 cents before December 17, 2020. Okay. After announcement of Yozo Bailo Pay Later, the share price and the trading went crazy to 13 cents. And the amount of money for the trading, our historical high was about more than 60 million Aussie dollar for one day for a small cap like CI1. I think it's crazy, but it showed a good support and a strong interest in CI1 stock by many investors. I see a big growth story for CI1 under my leadership with our good team support. We are teamwork, okay? CI1 success is not based solely on the skill and the determination to be work. We are a team already. We have good business in Hong Kong, we have good business in Singapore, we have good business in Australia, maybe other countries, UK or Canada, or even USA later. But we are teamwork. Okay, CI1 can succeed without Jimmy Wong. But I will work very hard in the coming 3 years to bring CI1 to a higher level of success, which I am very confident. So we are small, but we are beautiful. We have a lot of rooms, a lot of markets. We can earn good profit in the coming years. I think CI1 is a good investment to invest if the investor can read our announcement in the past, today, and in the coming month. They will see the beauty of CI1 in our future big growth story. And the last thing I want to add, we are profitable. Okay, we are profitable. We should have a good rising profit. Okay, we are a very expensive stock without profit. I looked at the many stock in the whole world, the new e-commerce stock, they're big variation, billions of dollars, maybe trillions of dollars. As many of them, they are making no profit. I think this is a big difference to CI1 and these are new economy stocks. Okay, we are profitable company. We expand in a safe and prudent manner. Okay, we are not spending money. We are not losing money to have explosive growth. This is not my direction.
Well, Jimmy, I wish you all the very best with your plans to continue to grow the company profitably and expand it.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you to my guest, Jimmy Wong, Executive Chairman and Managing Director at Credit Intelligence, for joining us for this edition of Stock Doc.